All right. Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome out. Welcome here. If you found a seat, I'm glad. And if you're out there in the Next Steps room, glad you're there out there. And everybody who's watching online, wherever you're joining us from, just glad that you could be a part of this service. And man, hopefully one day you can come and join us. Join us at 8:15 or 11:30, okay? We'd love to have you. We've got three services going on. And so anyway, wherever you are, we're so glad that you're making us a part of your journey with God. And I want to welcome you to week number two of our series where we're looking and going through the book of James. We're going to get to that here in 1 minute, but what I want to do really quick is just take a second and talk about Foster, West Virginia. So today, like you heard and you got something coming in, we're celebrating 3 years of our partnership with the foster and adoption community, and it started with just a vision. This was a vision we had as a church that we just wanted to be a community of support and encouragement and prayer for the children and families in foster care. And again, you got the numbers that you've seen, but I want to tell you the impact of this. Like, yes, it is impacting the foster community out there, but man, what it's done for us, I'm telling you, we have so many stories of how it is impacting us, even though we want to be impacting it for Jesus. And so we wanted to capture one of those stories, and so I want to show that to you. So here's Teresa's story.
Hi, my name is Teresa Napier. I started in Foster, West Virginia about 2.5 years ago. I had lost my son and my heart was broken, and I decided to get involved in something to kind of help me heal from that. I just knew that I needed to do something to move forward. I started with in the care community and with a family. We took one meal, and then those children were given back to their biological family. And I was like, okay, God, now what do I do? I ended up going with a second family and got to know them really well for about a year, and got to witness the adoption of their daughter, which was really awesome. I had never done that. And so it's exciting, and I'm still in contact with them. Like, I knew I wanted to do more with Foster, West Virginia. I loved it. I became an advocate with the ministry. And so with that, I started taking lunches to the social workers in Lincoln County and Putnam County. And we gave them little gift cards, and just to show appreciation for the really hard work that they do. Then my job changed a little bit, and I was unable to do that. So I prayed again, and just in a discussion at an event, I learned about the children's home in Ona, the Hova Hall Underwood Children's Home for Teens. So we go once a month, and we have huge celebrations with these kids. We had a fiesta. I hired a magician to come in and tell his story, and they loved it. We always get a huge meal. And after we get to know them a little bit, we start hearing some of their story. One of the young men just turned 16 last Sunday. He has been able to start coming to our church some, and he would like to get baptized here in our church, which is a blessing. We are so excited about that. But we were able to have him a birthday party last Sunday. He hadn't had a birthday party since he was 9, so just what a blessing. I definitely have seen healing in my own broken heart through being able to minister to these families, to the kids. So thank you, Foster West Virginia, for everything that you do. I have found my something, and I hope that you all find your something.
Yes, 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 yes. Let's praise God for that. Hey, listen, I want to encourage you right now, because right now we have three families that are ready to go to have a care community. All we need is the people to come around and love them and send them meals and things like that. So that represents about 13 to 15 new people that we need to be serving on there. So go out there in a lobby, find out, like, there's something all of us can do. Find your something out there. Go find Monica out there. Talk about what that looks like and what it means to be a part of the care community so that we can just keep growing what God is doing. All right. So just get involved, find your something. All right, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and get those out. Grab those, and you can open them up to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And as you're getting there, I want to ask you a question. All right, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where someone is giving you instructions on what you need to do, and then you actually realize halfway in that you have no idea what they just said, and you didn't want to admit that you weren't paying attention, so you're trying to piece everything together, but it just ain't piecing together? Anybody find yourself in that situation, yeah? Okay, the three that will admit it. How about this one? Have you ever nodded in agreement with what somebody's telling you to do, and you're like, I am not going to do one thing that they're saying? All right, anybody on that one? Yeah, yeah. That's where my kids are, and it's annoying. All right, it's very annoying. All right, just so you know. Have you ever told someone, yeah, I got it, but you ain't got it? Okay, like that's... So this is where we're kind of going to go. This is where James is going to encourage us a little bit in this area of our faith. So if you weren't here last week, we kicked off this series in James, and we started with James chapter 1, and Brandon kicked off by looking at the trials and temptations that we face and seeing that there is a tangible difference between the trials that God will allow for your faith to be strengthened and the temptations that come at us, which God never does. The Bible says that God cannot tempt you into doing something against his will or against his word. And so the important thing was talking about, like, you really need to know the difference. You need to know the difference between trials and temptations, because we have our response to trials and temptations are very different. So if you missed that message, I encourage you to go back, get online and listen to it. And so here's what we're gonna do today. We're gonna pick up where we left off. We're gonna back up in James 1 to chapter 16, or verse 1 and verse 16. And we're gonna read this all the way through to verse 25. And then we'll get into it. So he's going to go from trials and temptations here to verse 16. And here's what he says. He goes, so don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. And so a couple things we need to understand. So he's talking just to Christians. He's not talking to everybody. He's talking to those of us who have a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And what he's saying is what we're about to read will probably be an area where you're not seeing it all the way clear. Like, just, so he's saying, just come into this knowing that you might not have this all the way, all right? So don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. So do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Okay, so here's where we're going today. And this is what James is, with all the scripture we just read, he is saying, here is the one thing that you cannot get deceived about. And if you want to write this down, it's the word of God. That you cannot be deceived about the word of God. So five times in here, this is why I wanted to read it all together first. Five times in here, James talks about the word of God. And he talks about the power of it and the truth that it brings us and how your blessing is attached to the choice that you make with the word of God, with the Bible. Did y'all see that? And if not, I want you to go back and read it, because it's five times he says that. So James is saying, don't be deceived with what the word of God can do and should be doing in the life of a believer. It's really important. What God says is vitally important. And so if there is one thing that we want to walk away with today, one thing that makes the biggest difference and does the most in a believer's life, it's this. It's reading God's word and knowing it. Not only that, but believing in it to the point where you are actually obeying it. You're actually doing what it says to do, what God tells you to do in your life. Nothing more important than that in a believer's life. But this is why we want to talk about this. This is an area where a lot of Christians are being deceived. All right, because the latest statistics, this is from research just done, they just released this in September. Recent statistics say that only 14% of Christians are reading God's word every day. Let me tell you that again. 14% of us in this room are reading God's word every day. That is eye-opening, everyone. That's eye-opening. Now, it is not reaching all of the demographics in the same way. Actually, the one thing that is encouraging, the one thing that was really cool to see is that actually the younger generation, there is a resurgence, there is a growing resurgence of the younger generation in coming to church and reading the word of God. It's actually my generation, Gen X and the baby boomers, they are now falling behind, and they are falling behind drastically. It's a dramatic fall in our generations. In fact, in the latest Barna Group research, this is from September 2nd, if you want to find it, here's what they found, and this is from their report. Here's what they said. For the first time in decades, Gen Z and millennials are now the most regular churchgoers, outpacing older generations, and have shown a more significant increase in Bible reading and their commitment to Jesus in their daily life compared to older generations. And gang, listen, if you've had eyes to see, you're seeing it around here. Like, I see it. It's really encouraging. And it's like, you can see it all over the place. We have our high school students, man, they are bringing their Bibles on Sunday. They're bringing them. They're taking notes. They're sitting down. They're listening. There is a stronger desire in our younger generation right now for the truth. And honestly, you know why I think that's true? I think it's because they're just fed up with what the world is feeding them. Because you know what they're finding out? It ain't working, everybody. And so I think there is a resurgence back into the truth of God. And there's a desire of God growing in our younger generation. And I just want to tell you, people, and I love that you guys all sit in the front. They're all sitting in the front. If you want to know where they're at, they're in the front three rows, everybody. All right. And they're the ones that are saying amen and clapping. And I'm telling you, I want to let you know, man, I see you. And you are encouraging me. You are encouraging me. You're spurring me on in my faith. Like, I'm not here, man, you are showing me a lot of how God is moving. And I just want to tell you, just for all of us here, at least around here, I can't speak for any other church. Man, listen, we are in good hands with the younger generation of River Ridge Church, everybody. And so, man, because they're getting after it. And I just want to know, I see you guys. I see you all. I see it. Being in God's word is so important. And here's why it's so important, everybody. Man, I think right now, one of the biggest things, one of the things that is receiving the most pressure and being attacked by our culture and by our enemy, it's the Bible. It's the Bible. There's just a constant undermining of the truth of God all around us. And here's what I want to tell you. This is the bottom line. Man, if we are not individually vigilant about it ourselves, like if we are not staying on point with God's word, here's what it's going to lead, and what it is leading, it's going to lead Christians to be deceived. Like, we're going to be deceived and not read and then not know and then really just start drifting kind of away from the truth. And then what's going to happen is Christians are going to start thinking things like, well, I mean, I don't know, the Bible might not be as relevant today as it was before when it was originally written, but it's, you know, maybe it's not literally God's word. I mean, they're important words, but it's not really God's word. And I mean, so I'll use it if it works for me, but it's not like it's really life-changing or anything like that. And listen to me, that is deceiving us right now, and it has been deceiving us from the very, very beginning of time. Like, if you go back into the book of Genesis, when everything was originally created by God, and when Satan entered this earth, I want to show you, this is in Genesis 3, look at the very first thing that Satan says. This is when Adam and Eve are like in the garden, in God's blessing in creation, like everything is going great. And then here's what Satan says. This is the very first thing he says. He goes, hey, did God really say? And listen to me, that's the same thing that's happening today. It's the same work that he's doing. He's just always there questioning the truth and trying to undermine the authority of God and his word. And we're being deceived into not even thinking that we need to really read the Bible, all the while where it is the most important thing that we need, especially now. Especially, I mean, my goodness, like if you just look around and see all of the outlets, all the things, there is so much deception going on, everybody, with the truth of God in the world. And here's what's happening. Christians are getting in the mix of it because I just want to challenge you. I think we're listening to people's opinions more than we're listening to the word of God today, everybody. I just think that's true. And listen, I'm stepping on toes. I'm just trying to set the table today, everybody. Like, we need a resurgence in the word of God. We need to get back to the word of God, because this is why I believe everything's such a mess, man. Anyone agreeing with me so far? Anybody agreeing with me? Come on, man. That's why the world's a mess. We need to get back to God's word. Get back to the word of God. And if you hang with me, if you just hang with me today, okay? I want to encourage you. I know that's a sobering truth, and I know that, the numbers are showing the numbers. They are what they are, but if you hang with me, I'm going to show us, James is going to show us the two biggest barriers that get in the way of getting this right. He's going to clearly tell us what they are, and then what I just want to do is give us two things to encourage us to do, two things that will help us not be deceived away from the word of God, okay? But James gets right down to it, and here's what he's telling all of us right now. He's like, hey, listen, right now where you are, you've got to get a grasp of what you're doing with God's word. You've got to get a grasp with how you're treating the word of God. And here's what he's asking all of us today. And here's what he's saying, like right now in your life, where you are, here it is. What voice currently has the strongest say in my life? Right now, if I were to look at it, what voice has the strongest say in my life? Is it the world's word or is it God's word? Because gang, listen to me, right now, one of these is influencing you more than the other. And it's based on how you're deciding to listen to these. So the question is, which voice has the loudest say in your life? And, you know, for those of us who are here and those of us who say, no, I want the word of God to be what's guiding me. I want the word of God to be what is navigating me through this life. Here's the thing. James tells us, well, if that's what you want, then I'm gonna show you how you know it's true in your life. So it's not just saying it. He says, this is how you know it's true. It's in two things, and this is how we know that God's word is a voice that's guiding us. If you want to write these down, one is that I am receiving it, or basically I am actually reading it for myself on a consistent daily basis. That's one. That's how you prove it. And two, I'm obeying it, that I'm actually doing what the word of God tells me and instructs me to, that I'm actually applying it in my daily life to the point where I look different. I look different as a follower of Jesus to the world. We have to look different than the world does, because that's not the world's message, everybody. So it's that I'm receiving it and I'm obeying it and I'm carrying this out in my daily life. And that is what he's saying. That's what's proving that God's word is the strongest voice in my life. So here's what I tell you. So it's not just coming to church. That's a great idea. I think it's a really good thing to be doing, because it's not just going, and it's not just reading the word of God. It's also in your obedience to what the word actually says to do. And James even says, this is what's great news, everybody. He says, so when you get these two things going on, when you're receiving it and obeying, see, it's not just a proof, but you know what he also says? He goes, there's a promise. And the promise is that you will have a blessing from God and you will find freedom in your life. So there's an encouragement to actually get these things going on in your life. Okay, so let's find a few things out here. Let's dig in a little bit more. We're going to jump back. What are the barriers? What are the barriers that actually get in the way? So what we're going to do is we're going to back up to verse 19, because James is going to show us here. He's going to actually give us a really practical thing that a lot of us are really familiar with. So just to show us what happens when God's word is or isn't the loudest voice in our lives. All right, so we're going to look at this. Back up to verse 19. Here's what he says. He says, all right, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Okay, so here's what James uses. He could have used a lot of different things, but he uses anger here for us to understand and figure out some things about how God's word is in us. Now, one of the things that we need to understand about this is that James is not saying that all anger is bad. Not all anger is not bad, right? That's not what he's saying. There are times where anger is actually right. All right, if you look in the Bible, you see that there are times where God was angry. You can see where Jesus got angry. So if Jesus got angry, he can't do something that's wrong. So not all anger is bad, but James is talking about the anger that isn't good. All right, he's talking about the anger that it isn't good. So how do we know when the anger that's coming out of us and happening in our lives is not good? How do we know that? Well, he gives us two signs. James says there are two signs to know that anger isn't good. One sign is this, if you want to write this down. It's quick. It's quick. I don't have that in your notes if you want to write that beside it. It's quick, right? So when anger is the first thing that comes across your thought, like when something happened or something, right? It's like, I'm angry, right? When you immediately get to being angry, what it's showing is that there is a spiritual immaturity that is happening, because if that is your first emotion, then that's where a sign that it's not righteous anger. Because James says, not all anger is bad. He says, be slow to become angry. So the first one is quick. And here's the second sign that it's not good, is when he says it leads to unrighteousness. Do you see that? He says, so unrighteous anger, or human anger. So if anger, here's the thing. So when anger comes out, most of the time, believing the best about all of us, like when anger is there and when anger comes out, it's mostly, hopefully, over the things that we want to defend that are good, You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I want to defend what's good. And so when it comes out, here's the thing. When we want to defend something good, anger should always be helping us do good things, everybody. Like, that's what righteous anger, it should help us do good things. It shouldn't help us do bad things, because here's what it should never, ever do. Anger should never, ever something like that leads you to regretting what you said, regretting what you did. That's not what righteous anger does. Righteous anger will never leave you regretting what you said or did. And it should never leave somebody else going, man, he really lost it there. Like, that's never what should happen. Or man, she was really out of control. Did you see that? So those are the two signs. So how do we avoid this? Well, James helps us here in verse 21. He says, okay, so therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil. That's why he's like, he could have used a bunch of different things. And we're going to find out that what the root is here in a minute. That is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So James here gives us the answer, okay? And here is the answer. He does not say, so stop being angry by you controlling it. He does not say that. Like, that's not how it's going to happen. He says the way out is by humbling yourself. He says it's humbling yourself. Because here's the thing, everybody. The opposite of unrighteous anger is not self-control. The opposite of unrighteous anger is actually humility. That's the opposite. And it's right here where a lot of people get stuck. Right there. Because the real problem that is going on about most of the anger that we are having is not the situation. Do you know what it is? You know what it actually is? It's our pride. That's the biggest problem that's going on. It's our pride. And it's the first barrier that we face when it comes to receiving and doing God's word. It's when we have a prideful heart. It's when we have a prideful heart. Because here's what's going on when you have a prideful heart. When you have a prideful heart, it makes it almost impossible for you to listen and do anything that anybody is telling you to do, even with God, even when God is the one telling you to do it. And I am telling you, everybody, this is the box that many Christians paint themselves in without even knowing it. And you got to catch this. This is why James is saying, don't be deceived. Because it might be pride going on in your life. Because pride will keep the word out before it ever has a chance to change you. So, how do we know then that we have a prideful heart? Well, a prideful heart does several things. Here's a couple things if you want to have a little bit of a check. First thing that a prideful heart does is a prideful heart always needs to argue everything. Always needs to argue everything. So, like a proud heart can't tell the difference between a major point and a minor point, because to them, every point's a major point has to be defended, okay? Like, that's what a prideful heart does. And so as a result, because like the way that you see it with anything, even if it is a minor, you see it's major because you're like, how dare they not see it my way? All right, like that's what a prideful heart does, and you have to fight. And so what happens as a result is you're argumentative and you are unable to be teachable. You can't be teachable because you're obviously right, right? Like, why are you teachable? You're obviously right, every point. So even if it's minor, I'm right. So I gotta tell you how much I'm right. You know what I'm saying? Because pride, and here's what pride says. This is the catch for this. Pride says that if any one of my convictions go down, then everything's gonna fall apart. So I have to defend every single thing in my life. And this is what we see a lot of today. This is what we're seeing. Like, everyone has to have the last word, right? No one wants to be wrong. And man, you just get these, the ease of just typing up something and just putting it out there in the world, like, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. Woohoo! And you put it out there and then you just wait, right? And then you're like, well, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And I mean, it's just unreal. It's unbelievable. The ease by which you can do that. And what's going to happen is, here's the thing that we're seeing. People are arguing so much about everything just to make sure that their opinion wins. And listen to me, you're seeing it in families, you're seeing it in workplaces, you're seeing it in churches. And I just want to tell you, everybody, listen, I think we confuse being right with being righteous. I'm preaching out there. Anybody want to say amen to that? I thought that was pretty good, okay? Like, it's true. I think we've confused being right with being righteous. And those are totally different. So we love to do that. Here's the second thing a prideful heart does. A prideful heart loves confronting or avoids it. So it's like two, like, they either love confronting or altogether avoid it. The Bible says that a humble heart, here's what a humble heart will confront. Like, but a humble heart will speak the truth in love and will confront with modesty and confidence. Like, you have confidence in what you're approaching because you're in the Word of God. So here's what I'll tell you. So listen, if you've ever been confronted by a humble person, you know. And if you ever been confronted by a prideful person, you know. You know what I'm saying, everybody? Like, you know, right? Because here's what a proud heart does. A proud heart is approaching this with like, ha, I got you. I knew I was better than you. Like, that's what it is. Like, almost they love it. They love being right so much and they enjoy it. And then on the other side, though, here's the other side. The other side is a proud heart will also refuse to confront. And why that is because you can't deal with criticism coming back your way. You just can't deal with it. And so the prideful heart will also just shut it. They won't even confront at all. So either love confronting or avoiding it. Here's a third one. A prideful heart is never content. Can I get a good amen out there? I'm telling you, you know who those folks are, all right? It's when, like, you notice when people are just, oh my, they're always grumbling about everything. And it's like, you cannot find one good thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like the Eeyore. Oh my goodness. The weather. It's like, come on, man, it's weather. Like, you know what I mean? Like we're just complaining about everything. And here's why. Here's why. Because a proud heart, here's what a proud heart is already convinced that you know what's best, right? And so when things go sideways, which they always will, they will always go sideways. You get peeved and you stay ticked off all the time, right? You're never, ever content. So this is what's getting in the way. This is what's getting in the way. That if you have a prideful heart, and this is where we're being deceived a little bit. If you have a prideful heart, it will keep you from growing in the word of God. In fact, here's what James is saying. Pride's not even gonna open the door for the word of God to come in. And it's why I believe it's the biggest barrier that's getting in the way to Christians growing and being obedient to the word of God. And so James says, here's what he says. You wanna write this down. This is how we fix it. Humility. What combats pride is humility. What is humility? There's a lot of different ways you can define it, but I like to define it in the way of like us and God. Here's what humility is from the Christian standpoint. Humility is seeing me and my sinfulness because I see God and his holiness. That's what as soon as I see God for who he really is, it's gonna show me like, I ain't making the mark, man. I'm missing it big time. I'm missing it completely, right? I fall so short when I see God for who he really is. And it's why I love this analogy that James gives us here in verse 23 when he talks about looking at the mirror, okay? And it gives us the second barrier to receiving and obeying the truth. If you wanna write this down, not only do we have a proud heart, it's also a forgetful heart that is a barrier to receiving and obeying God's word. I wish I had more time to talk about the mirror thing with James. It's such an amazing analogy here. But here's what his point is with the mirror. Here's his point. His point is this, that every single one of us have the same kind of heart. Whether you're saved or not saved, our hearts are actually the same. And the thing is, the human heart actually tends to forget the good things and forget the true things. And that, especially when it comes to God and what he says about you. We just tend to forget. In fact, the Bible will tell you, and you can think about this in your own life and tell me if this is true. Tell me if it's not true. I'm telling you, your heart, the Bible will tell you that your heart is so twisted up that you can read scripture 100 times over that says you are God's creation. You are loved. You are valued. You are significant. God loves you. He desires to be he wants you in your presence. You can read that 100 times and forget it like that. But every bad thing, every messed up thing that happened, every ugly thing, you can't shake it. You remember them all. Tell me I'm lying, everybody. Is anybody out there listening? Come on, everybody. Like, it's true. Isn't that crazy? But it's true. We have forgetful hearts, especially about the good things and true things that God says about him, you, and Jesus. And so here it is. This is what I want to tell you. So if we just can at least understand, I have a forgetful heart. Like, if we could just know that you're gonna forget, and if you are not fighting that on a consistent basis, you will find yourself outside of receiving and obeying the word of God, and you're gonna be missing the result, which is freedom and blessing in your life. And so James says, so here's what you do. Here's what you do. He says, you've got to keep looking. You've got to keep looking. You can never, ever stop looking. And for Christians, I think this is where we get a little messed up. You can never get to a place where you think that you know God's word enough to not read it every day in your life. I don't know why we ever think we can get there, but we act like we are there. Like, I know it. No, you can never get to a place where you're doing that. Because if you look in the mirror and you go off and do something, what he's saying, without returning, you're gonna forget. So he's saying, keep looking, don't stop looking. And so here's what James is calling us to do. And again, this is an invitation, man. I want this to be encouraging for us today. The statistics are the statistics, man. I know that that's probably reaching a lot of us today. We're like, I don't know. Man, well, okay, let's do something about it, you know? So here's what he's saying, man. Stay humble. Stay close. Get in God's word. Because if we don't, we'll forget. And if we do, then we'll walk in freedom and we'll have blessing. And here's what, James, which one do you want? And I'm guessing that we're here today going, I want that one. And so here's what James is saying to do. Here's the two things that we need to do. Wherever we're at, I know a lot of us are in this place where we're like, I'm not in God's word every day. I'm not, okay, well, let's fix it. All right, here's the first thing that he says. So you gotta have a plan to read God's word. I don't know how else to tell you, everybody. Like, get a plan. Get a plan. Everybody look at me. Get a plan, okay? Like, get a plan to read God's word. Like, you're not, it's not gonna happen by osmosis. It's not gonna happen by going, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna read God's word. It ain't gonna happen. How's that working for you so far, all right? Like, how many of us have made a New Year's resolution? I'm gonna read God's word every day. How's that going? Like, you know what I mean? Because you don't have a plan. Because you've got to know you're gonna have a forgetful heart. So you got to know that you're not going to naturally drift into reading God's word every day by just saying you want to do it every day. So you got to get a plan. You need to have a predetermined thought to do it and then get something set in place to actually have it in your face to do it. Because if you don't, you're not going to do it. And I could talk forever about all the things you could do. There's so many ways you could do it. It's way easier today than it ever has been. You can get the Bible out. There's podcasts that literally are 5-6 minute daily devotion that goes in order in the word of God. You get a study Bible, put it by your desk. Like, just get a plan, get a plan. Just like you have to eat and just like you have to sleep, it's just as vital, everybody. Hey, can I tell you one more thing? Get a plan, all right? Like, get a plan to read God's word. Here's the second one. I gotta be humble enough to obey it as well. Like, I've gotta be humble enough to obey it. You will not move forward with God without obedience being primary in your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? You will not move forward with God without obedience being primary. And here's what, Chad and I say this all the time. Now, stop, don't click yet, don't click. Just look at me, we'll put it away here and say, okay? Here's what it is, just resist the urge, okay? Like, it's a temptation we talked about last week. Okay, just look at me. Here's what obedience looks like. It looks like waking up every day and just going like this. Yes, God. Yes, God, to everything you want. Now, what is your question? And no, God, no to the things that are trying to get me away. No to the things that are trying to, they're obviously out of whack with your word. So that's what I'm gonna do today. And I'm gonna tell you something right now today. So many of us need to think about it. Some of you need humility. Some of you need to think about that. You need to find humility. I think you need to have an honest, like, moment with your heart and ask yourself, man, is pride really getting in the way? Like, is this what's getting in the way of me not reading God's word and not obeying God's word in my life? Is that the barrier in faith? Because here's what I'll tell you. Because pride, here's what pride's gonna tell you. Pride's gonna tell you to turn on the TV, to go about your business, do the house, where all my kids' schedules are so busy, I don't have time to, I don't even have a minute to myself, and like all that stuff, using that as an excuse and not opening God's word. But here's what humble obedience will say. Humble obedience will say, no, I need to get into God's word. I wanna lead my family, and I cannot lead without being led. Does anybody hear me out there? I cannot lead without being led. Pride will tell you to react to your spouse in a negative way, to get quick to anger and be defensive, be insensitive, be unloving. And you know what humble obedience says? No, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm gonna check myself here. I'm gonna check my heart here. I'm gonna go after a loving resolve. I'm not gonna be quick to get angry. I'm gonna believe the best about them before I get into it. Pride's gonna tell you to act out of your emotions. Come on, somebody. Pride's gonna tell you if it feels good, do it. But humble obedience will compel you to show restraint, to be quick to listen, slow to anger, right? Slow to speak. Because the more I obey, the more I become. The more I become like who? Like Jesus. Like God made you to be. He wants you to be like his son. And the more you obey, the more you will become. The biggest thing that I want you to catch today, everybody look at me. This is not an ultimatum. This is an invitation. This isn't like a do this or else. This is a do this or be blessed. Anybody hearing me out there today? We're awful quiet. And I want to encourage you to get in God's word. Get in God's word. Because the more you become who God wants you to be, then the more free you will live this life. And there is nothing like being at the center of God's will in your life. Amen, everybody? Nothing like it. There's nothing like knowing you're right at the center of who God made you to be and right at the center of what God wants you to do. And James gives us the roadmap to it. He's like, this is how you get there. And if you're willing to hear it, and if you're willing to obey it, he says, you will find freedom and you will be blessed. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Man, I pray that we are not deceived. I pray that we see it for what it is. It is your truth. It is the words of life. It is the words of freedom. It is what Jesus came to die for so that that could be fulfilled in us. We can't get there without Jesus. And Jesus keeps pointing us back to saying, man, if you just obey, if you hear what I say and do what I tell you to do, you're gonna find freedom, you're gonna find me. And I pray that we just, A, that we have the boldness to face whatever barrier is getting in the way of this. And then we have the courage to step through that. Get a plan, get some accountability, whatever it takes for us to get in your word every day. There's so much on the line. That 14% just shakes me, God, and I don't want to be that statistic, and I don't think anybody here wants to be in that statistic. So in the name of Jesus Christ, let's turn the corner, and let's believe in what your word has to say so that we can get after it and find freedom and blessing. We love you. Thank you, Jesus, for making this possible, and we pray for all this in your name. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you need prayer, our prayer team is up here. If you want to come forward, we would love to pray over you. Hey, get a plan. Go out there and check out Foster West Virginia. Get on a team, and we'll see you next Sunday.